ask that you would meet every need, that you would move the mountains, Jesus, that you would heal, God, that fear would dissipate in your presence, Jesus. Hallelujah.
You are enthroned above the heavens, the earth and all creation. They bow before you. You are crowned with strength and glory, the angels crying holy all surround you.
Mine.
chain is loosed. God, we declare your kingdom is here, and everyone will see and fall down at your feet. God, we declare your kingdom is here.
You're feeling, it's the Spirit of an Almighty God. We had a tremendous first session this morning. here in the sanctuary. And as I said, we're going to change up our schedule a little bit. And I want to give Brother Ed Hosmer, he's an outgoing missionary to the nation of Japan. But we not only want to give Brother Hosmer a chance to finish what was started, but we want to give God a chance to finish what was started. Brother Ed Hosmer, God bless you. It's an honor to have you here today.
Oh, come on, let's keep giving that hand clap to Jesus. Amen. He is the King of Kings. Karewa ono o shu no shu. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's our friend. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, how I love the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hontoni kokoro kara arigato gozaimasu. I feel His presence here. What a wonderful worship team that has helped us to enter into the presence of the Lord. Amen. In the presence of God, anything can happen. Blinded eyes can be opened, and amen, the dead can be raised, and amen, anything can happen in this atmosphere. I just want to let God have His way. And He shall come down like rain on the mown grass as showers that water the earth. I believe God wants to pour out His Spirit, and I believe He wants to touch us, and I believe something has broken in the house of God today. Something has loosened up, and we walked in here, we had some shackles on us, but God is here, and He can, amen, He's going to, and He can do a lot of things. Amen. Amen. Y'all may be seated. I'm going to do my best to obey the Holy Ghost and do a little bit of missions, a little bit of preaching, a little bit of all that. But I just want to be following the Holy Ghost. Nothing is more important than being in the perfect will of God. Amen. It's one thing to have the permissible will of God, and another is the perfect will of God. The perfect will of God requires three elements: the place, the person, and the timing. You might be the right person, but the wrong time. Or the right place, but the wrong person. But when you get all three together, amen, it's the perfect will of God. And amen. I feel like talking a little bit and teaching and sharing, and I don't even know if I'm going to stay with my notes. I'll be honest with you. I just want to follow the Holy Ghost. And I believe that's the best thing. That's what God wants. Amen. Amen. Maybe we'll do that video towards the latter part if we do at all. Okay. Thank you, sound folks, for everything that they do. Amen. I appreciate everybody here. This church has been supporting our family for, I don't know how long, but for quite a while. And I appreciate every bit of your not only financial support, but your prayer support. We're in this together. We're fellow laborers. Amen. We're God's earth partner. Amen. We are laboring together, working for His kingdom, not our kingdom, but God's kingdom. Thy will be done here in earth as it is in heaven. And I believe that God wants us, amen, to be about His business. Amen. I'm going to share just a little bit about Brother and Sister Hosmer. And I got to apologize again that Sister Hosmer's not here. I know you'd rather see her than me. Amen. And I miss her tremendously. She had to go back to the nation of Japan because of visa restrictions. And I'm picking her up in Minneapolis next Friday. Amen, Lord willing. So please pray for those traveling mercies as she's coming back to the U.S. of A. Amen. I do appreciate my wife, and I still have to clean my motorhome. So keep Brother Hosmer in prayer, too. Praise the Lord. Amen. I went to Japan in 1990 by way of the U.S. Air Force, and I did not know Jesus when I went there. Like I said this morning session, that I grew up in Michigan. I went to a Catholic church, and I was faithful. I went to church, what, twice a year? Christmas and Easter. I was there every year. And amen. And I grew, and I And I remember going to Japan. I'm going to share just a little bit of testimony because you don't know me, and maybe it's good for you to put a testimony to what you're supporting, appreciate your giving towards Move the Missions. I use our Move the Mission vehicle quite a bit. We put it on a boat and we go into mainland and we drive all over mainland. We come back. It's 24-hour boat ride, by the way, from Okinawa to mainland Japan. It's a long boat ride, but it's worth it. Amen. We have our wheels with us everywhere we go. Amen. And God is so good. But I went to Japan in 1990 and I didn't know Jesus. I was an alcoholic and I met my wife in a place called the Underground, which was actually the second floor. It was a bar. I was very intoxicated, and I remember turning around, and there she was sitting at my table. I'm thinking, oh my goodness, this beautiful Japanese lady sitting at my table, I must be handsome. I gave her a calling card. Some of your young folks don't even know what a calling card is, but it was just a landline telephone number and my phone, my name. It's called a calling card. Here, call me, you know. And I tell you, I was sitting around that phone forever waiting for it to ring, and it never rang. Another night I went to a place called Prince. It was a drinking karaoke place, and there she was. And I said, what can I do? And I said, okay, I'm going to sing. And I picked a song, If a Picture Could Paint 1,000 Words, Then Why Can't I Paint You? Swept her off her feet. Yeah. She has a different story, by the way. It's not the same story. Yeah. Just thought I'd maybe share that with you. But, amen. We started dating. We lived together. And I begged her to marry me. And begged. And she said no. She didn't want to get married to another alcoholic. Her father was an alcoholic. And she saw that. And so I decided, okay, I guess I'm going to have to move out. I'm going to have to leave Japan. If I don't get married, I have to leave Japan. And I moved out. I was starting to move down the stairs with the elevator, and God spoke to her. It's your last chance. She didn't even know God. She was an ancestor worshiper. She's Japanese. She only knew how to pray to her relatives that passed away. But God spoke to her in that place. This is your last chance. You need to, you know, change your mind. And she called me back up. Within a couple weeks later, we were married, and like 3 weeks later, someone invited me to church for the very first time. Amen. That's how fast God moves. And I remember hearing this and seeing you all juke and jive and run the aisles, and I thought, this church is crazy. I'm used to the quiet, reserved, amen, you know. And I said, this place is crazy, and they stuck me in the center sandwich. Like where you're sitting right there. And I couldn't leave. I wanted to run, and I couldn't. Amen. And I was, oh my, what did I get myself into? But it was my boss that invited me to go to church, and I thought I'd go to church with him. And all my party friends said, you don't want to go to his church. They speak in tongues there. Now I'm going to go to that church because I want to see what that tongue jazz is. I had no idea what it was. And wouldn't you know it, within a couple of weeks, I got filled with the Holy Ghost myself, and I was baptized in Jesus' name. Amen. That was in 92. By 96, I was already a local licensed minister, an AIM worker pastoring a Japanese national church. That's when I got out of the military, by the way, is when 1996. I'm trying to help you. I'm going to might as well share a scripture so I'm not just testifying. Amen. Let's do Philippians 4 and 13. I can do all things through Christ. I'd like to preach a little bit to you today about just one more. I want to talk to you about just one more. Amen. I can do all things through Christ. I remember getting out of the military. You know, they paid me $15,000 to get out of the military. I think they really wanted me out of the military. I don't know. They were downsizing, and I thought, that's going to last forever. In 92, $15,000 was a lot of money. I thought it was going to last forever. A couple months went by, and nothing left, and I was working four jobs. You know, there's a saying out there, because of the billions, because of the millions, because of the hundreds of thousands, maybe because of just one. The will of God at any cost. Oh. Paul put it like this. He said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Yes, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your, that you may prove what is that perfect and acceptable will of God. I just want the perfect will of God. Whatever the cost. Whatever the price, I'm willing to become a living sacrifice. Oh, just even for one. God did so much for me. He filled me with the Spirit. He washed my sins away. I was changed. I became a new creature in Christ. Everything I knew was changed. And I was so happy. Amen. I didn't care if I had to work 4 or 5 different jobs. Whatever I had to do to see the will of God accomplished. And things were going great. And then some tithe payers left. It's a very small church. And the choice had to be made. What are we going to do? Do we close the church doors down? You know, what can we possibly do in this situation? And our family decided, well, I guess we'll move into the church. We'll move into the Sunday school room. And my heart was broken that I was taking Sunday school classes away. The room we moved into was not as wide as this area, but about as wide as where the chairs end, and maybe about this deep. We had a queen-size bed and 2 dressers. And in bunk beds, enough room to kind of go like this to get in. Some privacy between my wife and then where the kids slept. And we had clothes hanging. I'm not trying to paint a sad story. I'm trying to tell you what you've invested in. We turned the urinal in the bathroom into a shower. My wife was outside cooking with one of those gas burner stoves, and sink was outside with all the animals and bugs. Our hanging clothes in the sanctuary. We thought a month, maybe 2 months, you know, surely this is going to change. 2.5 years later, we were able to move out. It taught me something, Pastor. It taught me brokenness. It taught me what it means to be a sacrifice. Wouldn't trade it for anything. You have to understand, if you're going to have an altar, you have to have something to put on that altar. You can't just have fire. You got to be a living sacrifice. Yes, holy and acceptable unto God. It's just our reasonable service. Amen. I was willing, and I'm not saying everybody has to walk down that path, but I was willing to do whatever it cost. Teaching English, working in a frame shop, pastoring full time, driving my little 50cc scooter all the way 1.5 hours to go and teach more English, and 1.5 hours back on a little 50cc scooter, whatever it cost. And I remember going to an Asian retreat in Taiwan, everything I could muster up finances to go to this Asian retreat. And I met Brother Frizzell. I don't know if you all remember him or not. He was, to me, a hero in missions. He went into the triangle. He was in Myanmar and in Vietnam and Cambodia. And I mean, he'd climb in the mountains, and he was the real deal to me. And he was scary. He called me, Brother Hosmer, come over here. I need to talk to you. And I'm, oh. I was nervous. And he said, what you're doing is very admirable. I see your sacrifice, everything you're doing. But look at me. I just had a transplant. And if it wasn't for foreign missions, I would not be here. I wouldn't have insurance. And he said, what would happen to you if you got sick? What would happen to your work? What would happen? And made me think a little bit about going into global missions. At that time, it was called foreign missions. So my wife and I, we prayed about it. We felt this direction after direction from our pastor and from other people. We said, okay, and we filled out the application. Amen. And in 2002, we were appointed missionaries. Amen. And I had no idea that we would be standing on a platform and so in front of so many people. I would not have filled out the application. Believe me, I'm a chicken. I had no idea. I just thought, okay, you have to understand, I had no church in North America. I had no district in North America. I didn't know anybody, if they were a presbyter, if they were who or what. I don't like politics. I still don't like politics. I didn't know anything. All I just knew is Jesus was leading me to go do this. And so we filled out this application, we got appointed, and we went back to Japan for a year. In 2004, we went on our first deputation. Praise the Lord. And we were driving Brother David Doan's motorhome, our first one, not the one you see parked out there. This one was worse. I remember driving, and the windshield wiper went flying. The only one that worked, by the way, in a torrential downstorm. Oh, my. One day, the refrigerator door just fell off. How does that happen? I don't even want to go into all the rest of the stuff. We could be hours, just one repair after another, and driving and driving and driving, and I was having a pity party. I'm doing a very good job at having a pity party sometimes. I don't know about you. Maybe you don't do that, but I was having a pity party. And I remember going to Houston just exhausted for a general conference. And I couldn't even go to the foreign mission service. All I could do was open up the curtain and look down to the arena. And I just said, God, you know I'm so tired. I just blessed them. I prayed for them, and I crawled into bed, and I began to just sleep. And the next day, we had to pack things up and go to Oklahoma. You know how far Houston is to Oklahoma? More pity party I was having. Complaining all the way. I'm not trying to paint a sad story, but I'm trying to provoke you a little bit and challenge you about our sacrifice level. I remember driving all day, take a nap, driving at night, just trying to get there on time. And somewhere at night, God spoke to me. And he said, I want you to start counting those dashes. I know God talks to us all weird, right? That's a crazy request to me. And I only have 10 fingers. Two of them are thumbs even, you know. I tried to count. 1, 2, 3. Oh, 1, 2. Oh, okay, slow down. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I couldn't count. I look over and there's my daughter right there on the couch sleeping. Dorothy! She's like 9 or 10, I forget how old. Dorothy! Wake up! God wants us to count these dashes. Who says that to their daughter anyways? You know, that's crazy. Crazy dad. Dorothy, help me, you know. Okay, you know, and we're trying to count, you know, and I don't know how we could get to a certain number. We couldn't get to it, so I said, okay, let's just figure out how many dashes are in a mile. Let's do that. And we slowed down, and I forget what it was now. But later, I did some math, and I figured out that if we went 100 miles an hour, by the way, motorhomes only go 80. Nonstop, 724. It would take me 2.5 years to reach 126 million souls. 2.5 years, God prepared me in this little space to live. And now I was in this little space of a motorhome. God was just preparing me for a deputation. And he was reminding me, just one more dash, just one more soul. Just keep going just a little bit further. Just one more Bible study. Just one more day of fasting. Just one more. What will you be willing to do? What is your sacrifice level to reach to your neighbors? One more night in prayer? One more travailing service? One more Bible study? Just one more. Just keep going. Don't quit. So we finished that deputation. 2.5 years of traveling in America on our first deputation. Exact same amount of time that we lived in that motorhome. We went back to Japan and we had to move from that little tiny church building because we only had one car parking spot. And that one car parking spot was transformed into a Sunday school classroom. And in that classroom, that parking spot, they were trying to tell us the police were giving us tickets, $100 tickets. So we had to move. And so I got on my 50cc scooter. You have to imagine this big guy on a 50cc scooter. The Japanese kids were laughing at me, you know. And they're so cute, you can't even get mad at them, you know. And I'm driving all over, and I kept running into a building in Udama City. And this building was huge. I can't be that building. It's not in Okinawa City. Driving. A month goes by, and I keep going by that same building over. Wow, that's a beautiful building. And I finally had enough nerve to go and find out, well, see, in Japan, you can rent part of a building. You don't have to rent the whole building. And this building was broken into three parts, two-thirds, one-third, and the whole top floor. And when we went to talk to them, they said, well, it would be $1,500 US for rent for that bottom floor. Just not the whole thing, but just that one main sanctuary. And so I talked to my wife, we talked to the church, we prayed, and by faith we moved into that place. Everything was in that little church. And God blessed us, and the kids began to pray for that room next door, and we turned that into a Sunday school classroom. Amen. And we only had to pay $300 for that place. It was amazing. And so all that work, and we started growing, filling that place up. And then we came back to deputize our second deputation. That was 2 years and 2 months. That's a long time traveling around America. And we were able to persuade some aimers to come over and help us. And we were knocking down walls and we were doing all kinds of things. And I was trying to raise funds to be able to get our own land, to build our own building. And that was during recession times here in America. And I could not raise any funds hardly at all. And about 2 months before we went back, God started to give me visions about that building to rent the second floor. And then on the second floor, we would have a cafe, and we would have a pastor's place. We would have Amer quarters. We would have a Bible school wing. We would have office space and all those things. I'm like, no, we can't do that. We can't afford that because they want to charge us $5,000 for that top floor a month for rent. I'm sorry, but missionaries don't make that kind of money. So we got back and we talked to the owner, and the owner said, okay, we'll rent that top floor for just $1,500. What a crazy drop in price. And that's exactly what we have up there now. We have a cafe. We have a pastor, my brother-in-law, who has been one to the Lord, and his family of six is living in a parsonage up there. We have two rooms for AIM workers to be able to come over and help us out. We've got a Bible school wing. Oh, this is the most beautiful cafe you would ever see. Amen. Fellowship area and office space. And a barbecue area outside. Praise the Lord. So we kept going back and forth, and that was after our second deputation, and I met a couple of Marines who came to our church. Half of our congregation is U.S. Marines. The other half is Japanese, or I should say U.S. military. Amen. But a lot of Marines come there. These two guys were roommates, Travis Craig and Sean Ward. They were roommates, and I would ride a bigger bike because Azusa Street Riders gave me some money, so I got a 250cc scooter. Woohoo! I could get on the expressway now. Still a two-hour drive to go to their Camp Hansen, and amen. And I'd go there on Thursday and teach them Bible studies and disciple them, and I end up baptizing them both in Jesus' name. And they both got out of the military. They came back to America, and then they came back to Japan again. They both got married to Japanese. And if you look on your missions map, you're going to see both of them on there as missionaries, associate missionaries. One of them wants to meet the board already to become a fully appointed missionary. Isn't that amazing? That's multiplication there. Just one more Bible study. Just one more day of fasting. Just one more prayer. Just one more. Don't quit. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep fighting the good fight of faith. Amen. Keep walking in the paths of righteousness for his precious namesake. Praise the Lord. Keep going. Just one more. And then we had a young fella and his wife. She's 7 months pregnant. Canadians, we'll forgive them. We'll just... They came to Okinawa. And they're also on the missions map. Cole and Stacy Panton. They're associate missionaries. God's multiplying. Amen. The work is growing. I'm saying all this so I can bring you up to this video here in just a minute that you can see what is happened in the last few years in Okinawa, Japan, and in our ministry and whatnot, because I really need your prayers. We're going back, and there's a lot of work to be done. The truth is, in the nation of Japan, we have about 2,000 constituents. Yeah, you heard that right. Not our church, in the nation. We have 30 ministers. Reaching to 126 million souls. So work is a lot to be done right now. I want to encourage this church to keep going. I felt this need and desire to challenge you to keep going. Don't feel like you've already accomplished. There's a whole city here to win. I want to share with you a couple more scriptures, and then we'll share this video, okay? Let's look in our Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 9. Verses 35 through 38. I hope to challenge you. I got to go through the scriptures quite quickly and share what I want to share quickly. It says, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Isn't it amazing how Jesus did not limit himself to just a teaching ministry? Isn't it amazing how he was also involved in preaching? And he was also involved in healing and doing all kinds of healings and sicknesses and walking place to place and serving and giving of himself. And I can imagine that's what we do sometimes. As laborers and servants of God, we're so busy about our Father's business and we can become very weary. But something happened to Jesus. It says here, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. If you ever get the privilege of going to Tokyo City, the largest city in the world, go to an observation tower. Go to Tokyo Tree or go to the Tokyo Tower. All you will see, as far as your eye will let you see, in every direction, is skyscrapers. If you're a soul winner of any sort, it'll mess with you, especially at night. If you see little lights flickering as far as you could see, and I'm thinking again, one light, one soul, one light, one soul, as far as your eye can see. The laborers are few. So here in the scripture, we can see here, the Lord had a prayer request. Pray ye therefore to the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his fields. Amen. So go over to the 20th chapter. Amen. I'm going quickly as I possibly can. 20th chapter. I think I'm going to use my actual paper Bible. Sorry, guys. I don't want to misquote. Matthew 20, I believe it is. Yes. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers in his vineyard. And I believe God is trying to get us to go out into the vineyards. And he agreed with them for a penny a day and sent them into his vineyard. There was some kind of negotiation going on. He worked with them. And I'll tell you, I'm not in this for finances. Yes, it costs money, but I'm in it for souls. There's two things that we need to keep our eyes on, and that's it. One is keep your eyes lifted up to the hills where our help cometh from. And two, keep your eyes onto the fields, for they're white already on the harvest. I don't care how distracted you may have gotten, but if you will go back to those two things and just keep your eyes up onto Jesus and onto the fields, stop looking at your own weaknesses. Stop looking at your brother and sister's weaknesses. Stop looking at the situations in the world. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes onto the fields. I promise you it's going to redirect your path. You're going to start walking in the right path. Amen. God's working, trying to get laborers, and he's negotiating, and I don't need a 401k. I don't need all these things. I just want to win souls. Verse 3 says, and he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. I wonder if he can see us for just standing around idle. That's thought-provoking right there. If he can see the multitudes, he can see us. He knows where we're at right now. He knows everything about us. Amen. He knows even the thoughts and the intents of our heart and our mind. That's scary sometimes. He knows what I'm thinking, even the stinking thinking. Like, no. That's a amen. God is so good. Amen. What's a marketplace, by the way? Buying, selling, trading, Walmart. The definition I thought of was anything but the harvest fields. Either in the marketplace or in the harvest fields. One or the other. Now, you could be in the marketplace and in the harvest fields at the same time if you're soul-minded. You could be at Walmart's checking out the tomatoes and, oh man, there's someone right there. Can I reach to that person? You couldn't be in both places, but it's all about where your heart is. Amen. All right, I'm going to hurry. I'm almost done. Make sure I'm not going over. Okay. And he said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, I will give you. And they went their way. That scripture bothers me because it doesn't say they went into the harvest fields. It says they went their way. Amen. I know when Brother Hosmer goes Brother Hosmer's way, it's not the harvest fields. It's usually where Brother Hosmer wants to go. Amen. Maybe they did go to the harvest fields. I don't know. And again, he went about the sixth and the ninth hour and did likewise. And if we're honest, there's been many times God's knocked on the door of our heart trying to provoke us. And this is one of those times again. He's trying to challenge us to get about in our Father's business with prayer, with being out into the fields. I can feel that. I sense that, that God is trying to waken his church up. It's time to go to work. I heard that today. Amen. And about the 11th hour, he went out and about and found others standing idle. And he said unto them, why did you stand here all day idle? And they said unto him, because no man hath hired us. And he said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall you receive. Amen. He saw them standing around idle. These were the people who were left over. And I remember back in high school days, we used to play this game called dodgeball, you know, where you would throw the ball and hit each other. But we would start out with two team captains, and the team captains would pick people. And they would start out like, okay, I'm going to pick you. And then they would say, okay, I'm going to pick you. And the other guy would pick, and they would pick and pick. And I'd be like, pick me. I want to play. They would pick girls sometimes before they would pick me. Because I was very uncoordinated still. I'm kind of uncoordinated. And by the time the pickings got down to very few, I would be like, well, I don't play that stupid game anyways. That's a dumb game. You know, I hated that process. And I'm sharing that analogy with you is because in the last days, you can see here that the ones that were left over, they were probably the ones that were handicapped. They were the elderly. They were the ones that were not first picked early in the morning. They were the ones that didn't have all kinds of education. They were the ones that didn't have all kinds of gifting, but they were still standing there waiting to be hired. And the Lord of the harvest is saying, it's not about your ability. It's all about your availability. If you would just make yourself available in the day and time we're living in, God wants to use you. Here I am, Lord. I may not be that good, but I got two hands. I got two feet. I got a mouth. I might be able to just win one more. Just one more. Can we reach out to just one more? Will you be willing to sacrifice just one more minute, one more prayer, one more day of fasting, one more Bible study, one more study session, whatever it is that you do, just one more. I'm never satisfied with just one soul. I want one more. I'm going to keep reaching. I'm going to keep reaching. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep fighting the good fight of faith. Amen. Why don't we stand? Jesus, I'd like to pray for you. Is that all right? I'm gonna wrap this up, whatever pastor wants to do. I just want to pray for you because I may not get a chance to do that later. In the authority and the power of the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I pray for every man, woman, and child that is here in this place. Open our eyes, Lord, to receive truth. Open our eyes, Lord, to see the masses amount of souls. Help us to be baptized, to reach with a burden, to reach to one more soul. I pray in the name of Jesus that you would activate a desire in our hearts to keep studying the Word of God. Activate a desire in our heart to reach one more soul, to not be self-satisfying or complacent. Help us to keep reaching to just one more soul. Help us to keep fighting the good fight of faith. I pray, God, shake off every bit of sleep and slumber off of us, and help us to be about your Father's business, I pray. In the name of Jesus, I pray. I thank you, Father. I thank you for everything that you're doing in this church. I thank you for every ministry. I thank you for every gifting. I thank you for the pastor. I thank you for the work of God. I thank you for every person that is involved already. But I pray, God, help us to not be satisfied Amen. Help us to reach out to just one more, our neighbor, our co-workers, just to one more soul. Help us to keep fighting that good fight of faith, I pray. In the authority and the power of the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Let's worship him. Hallelujah. 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 God bless you all. If you want to watch that video, you can.
Praise the Lord, church. How long is your video, brother? 6 minutes. Let's just be seated and let's watch that, okay? And then we'll come back up after.
Needs Jesus now. Why Japan and why now? In Japan, there is 126 million souls, and only 1% is any kind of Christian. Much less than this are in the apostolic truth. We must go beyond where we are now to reach this nation with the wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ. For many years, our family has been based on the island of Okinawa in the city of Urema. We've established a healthy, growing international work that has reached out to both Japanese and to foreigners. We are so pleased to share with you that many military members have been saved out of this work. Having a vision for the small life group ministry, we have had many life groups develop in Okinawa and nearby islands. A few years ago, two of these small life groups grew and became preaching points. One in the city of Nago, which is about a two-hour car drive away. The other is on a different island altogether of Miyako, and the only way to get there is by plane. We are happy to share with you that recently, both of these preaching points have grown and became daughter churches. Not being satisfied with this, we wanted to go beyond the Ryukyu Islands and start a life group in the middle of mainland Japan in the small city of Ida in Nagano Prefecture. First, we started a small life group and began to travel back and forth to Ida City monthly to teach Bible studies. Souls began to be baptized in Jesus' name and get filled with the Holy Ghost. We then turned this small life group into a preaching point. Continue to travel back and forth monthly to do online discipleship classes. Things were going great. Then COVID happened, and travel became nearly impossible. But we still hear the call to go beyond. We need your help. We need support for just three things. First, if you would like to come to Japan and you have your pastor's approval, we could use your support in many areas of the work. We are always looking for people to join the AIM program and are willing to sacrifice a few months of their life to help us. Second, we need your financial support. Of course, we need your PIM support, but we could really use your help in some of our special projects. We really need funds for travel. Traveling back and forth between preaching points and daughter churches is very needed, but also very expensive. We also need support in evangelism funds and equipment funds to see these works grow. Thirdly, and most importantly, we need your prayer support. Will you pray for us? Will you pray for souls to be reached in Japan? Will you pray for those souls to become true disciples of Jesus Christ? Will you pray for leaders to be developed? Will you pray for ministers to be trained? Some give by going, and some go by giving. But we can all go beyond in prayer. Let's pray for Japan right now.
God, if you could stand with me. Brother Hosmer has a list of special projects that they have there. And as he had mentioned before, that travel is one of their special projects. So they have evangelism equipment and then travel. And we have coming back here to Madison this, I guess toward the end of the year, we have Jamin Powell and his wife Hannah. And it was in their church where Hannah received the Holy Ghost and was baptized. So it's exciting just to see how that through missions giving, by sending a couple from Michigan and sponsoring them in Japan, that they win a young lady to the Lord, that a young man in this church marries and is coming back here. It's just amazing what God does and what God can do. Just one more. So we're going to take on one of these projects, and we're going to assist them, and our praise team, as they begin to sing, I want to open up. If you'd like to give, you can give online or and such. But I also want to open up. Brother Hosmer has just really challenged us today. And we've been doing a series on fruit. The fruit of the Spirit. And that's all God is asking us to do is just share. Just share our fruit with just one more. So as our worship team begins to sing, I want to open up this altar this morning. If you'd like to come and pray, say, God, who is that one person in my life that I can share your Spirit with, your presence with, your love with? Who's that one person? We all know one person. We all know one person. One person is all it takes. So if you would begin to sing.
Worthy of every song we give and sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Other name. saved. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you.
Talking to Brother Hosmer, and just, you know how Jesus went from addition, the church went from addition to multiplication, was that it added to the church daily, but also there's a mentorship process that began to take place. And it's so very critical and it's so very important. If we're going to grow the kingdom of God, we have to grow each other, and then as new people come in, we have to grow them. But not just grow them, but grow them and then send them out. And for our missionaries, it's just, to me, it's staggering to have the responsibility of 127 million people with just a handful of helpers. So we're going to help them with this travel fair. I would like for to commit to $5,000 for his travel fare. And then he had shared with me yesterday how that they wanted to take and put together a place that they could bring young ministers and young couples to and help mentor and train them and have kind of like a small courtyard type fellowship area. And I'd like to see us help them develop that as well, because it's so critical and it's so valuable to have a place to bring young men and young women, teach and train them, and then send them out. So if you feel God calling you in any of these areas, just turn in your funds to Sister Jessica, and we'll make sure that this gets to Brother and Sister Hosmer's account. And thank you so very much. We're going to continue to worship. We do have Spanish service starting here at 1 o'clock, so we need to be aware of that. I hate to just tell you that you have to rush out. You can fellowship out in the vestibule, outside where you don't have to wear a mask. But thank you so very much again, Brother Osborne. Thank you to our worship and praise team today. Did a tremendous job. Thank you. God bless you all. We'll see you here Wednesday evening. Sister Jessica was on the schedule, but we're going to trade services. So we're going to finish our series on what can fruit do for you. And we're going to talk about what happens when fruit goes bad. God bless you. Thank you.